Good morning and welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we are beginning a new Sefer Mishle. This is an incredible Sefer and we have so many times heard little pieces of it. We've heard a little snippet here, a pasuk here, a half a verse there, and we get a little bit of a boost in wisdom. We feel it is a quotable text, but we really don't have a sense of what the Sefer is about, where it's going to, where it's coming from. Let's spend a little bit of time over the course of the next 31 days, essentially, where we learn together, because there are 31 prokem. Let's try to learn Sefer Mishle in depth and get a sense of the entire cadence of the Sefer. Let's start at the beginning. Today is going to be an introductory unit, and we're going to move straight into Perek Aleph. 10 minutes a day. Let's do this together. So starting off with structure, this Sefer is 31 prokem. So if we're learning this at 5 prokem a week, including the introductions, this is going to take us 32 days, or essentially a month and a half. So hold in there. The Sefer is broken up into three main sections, and this is very clear from the text itself, because at three points does the Sefer introduce a new section calling it Mishle. So for instance, Prokim Aleph to test. The first 9 Prokim form a unit in which they are introduced by Mishle Shlomo ben David, Melech Yisrael. These are the Mishalim. These are the parables, so to speak. We can use that word loosely right now. The Mishle Shlomo, the son of David, in the king of Israel. From Perek Yud onwards, we have another introduction, which is called Mishle Shlomo, Ben Chacham Yisamach Av, and then it goes on to introduce the Mishalim. So again, it starts with Mishle Shlomo. And in Perek Chof Hei, so that's 10 to 24 is the next unit, and 25 to 31, it says, Gam Ele Mishle Shlomo Asher Hietiku Anshei Chizkiya Melech Yehuda. These are the Mishalim, the parables of Shlomo, which were copied down by Chizkiyahu, the king of Israel, many years later, and his people, the king over Israel. So we have three basic delineations of the Sefer. However, the Meiri, Rav Menachem Meiri, in his introduction to the Sefer, points out that towards the end, you'll notice that actually the last section of the three can really be subdivided by looking at two epilogues. For instance, Perek Lamed starts off with the words, Divrei Agur Ben Yoke. There's a chapter which is introduced by Agur Ben Yoke. And the 31st chapter is Divrei Lemuel Melech Masa. Lemuel has a mashal as well. So these two last chapters seem to be epilogues from other wise sages, at least on the face of it. And therefore we can look at the Sefer roughly as 5 sections. The first three major sections, which take up essentially 97% of the Sefer, are three sections of the Mishle Shlomo, and the last two are these external sets of Mishalim from outside people. It sounds unless like they are people in Elias. We will see, God willing, as we get closer, what that actually means, who these people are. And it is, of course, Eshes Chayil is part of the primary section of the last perek of the Divrei Lemuel. So it's going to be very important to understand what's really going on there. Now, Bira Zemei, we have these 5 major sections. We'll see the overview and themes of each of them as we get a chance to learn them inside. Let's try to understand a little more about the Sefer. In terms of order, the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Yud Aleph Nun Beis, tells us that it was arranged as following. Sidron Shel Ksuvim. We're now in the section of Tanakh, the tripartite division called Scriptures, which is the third and last section, Ksuvim. And the Gemara orders them as follows. Rus, Tehillim, Iyov, Mishle Koheles, Shira Shirim. We're going to not focus on the last ones for a moment. But that's not the order that we have in a regular Tanakh. Again, it goes Rus, Tehillim, Iyov, Mishle Koheles, Shira Shirim. Why in that order? Rashi says because it's chronological. Of course, Rus came in the times of the Shoftim, which was written at the times when before the birth of David HaMelech. Tehillim was written by David. Iyov was written according to this opinion by Malkos Shva, the Queen of Sheba. And then it goes into the three Svarim of Shlomo, which is Mishle Koheles and Shir HaShirim. In terms of the authorship, the Gemara goes on Tes Vav and Aleph to tell us that, in fact, that although it sounds like it would be Shlomo, however, the Gemara attributes it to Chizkiyah, the Siatar, to the king Chizkiyahu and his assistants and his council who worked on this, which is fascinating. Where does this come from? It comes from the beginning of the third section of Mishle in Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Aleph, where it says, Gam Eile, Mishle Shlomo, Asher Hetiko, Anshei Chizkiyah, Melech Yudah. These may have been said by Shlomo, but they weren't redacted, edited, and compiled until the times of Chizkiah into the Sefer that we have today. So whether the first two sections existed beforehand as their own unit and Chizkiah put it all together, all the unpublished or the uncollated Mishalim of Shlomo, they were finally put together by Chizkiah HaMelech. Fascinating. It is interesting also to note in that Gemara in Bava Basra that Chizkiah and his council were responsible also for the compilation of Yeshayahu, Mishlei, Shir HaShirim, and Koheles. So there was a lot of different pieces that were pulled together at that time. We know at the times of Chizkiah HaMelech, there was this incredible wealth of spiritual knowledge. There was this time where everybody was learning in an incredible way, and this in a certain sense, enabled Chizkiah to be able to accomplish these great achievements. In terms of understanding the wisdom of Shlomo, which seems to be behind this book, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Nun Zayin, Amud Aleph tells us that if a person sees certain books in dreams, they are going to be a portent for them in their daily lives, assuming that the dream is not just a physiological experience. So if a person sees Tehillim, Yatzapeh Lechasidus, let's say a person dreams of this book of Tehillim, they can expect in their life there'll be opportunities to become pious, to go above and beyond the letter of the law. If a person sees Mishlei, our Sefer, in a dream, a person should expect Lechochma, Yatzapeh Lechochma, should anticipate opportunities of wisdom. And finally, Eov, Yidog Min HaPuranos, so a person dreams about the book of Eov, except the night after learning this shir, then in that case, a person should be concerned about punishment, Chas V'Shalom. So why is it that this book is understood to be a portent for wisdom? It seems to be very clear that Shlomo HaMelech was the author of this book. It was the one who was engineered most of these Mishalim over here. Why? Because we know that Chochma and Shlomo are one and the same. At the very beginning of Shlomo HaMelech's rule, Perek Gimel in Melachim Aleph, we know that Shlomo HaMelech has a dream in Givon, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a blank check, says, whatever you want, you take. Shlomo HaMelech asked for a lev. He asked for a heart to understand, or actually asked for wisdom, and in order to be able to judge the nation of Israel, and that's what he got, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him that. Afterwards, he expressed that in the famous case between the two women who are arguing over whose child is the dead one, whose child is the alive one. We see that, in fact, there is a number of midrashim which are to be found, which describe other cases that Shlomo HaMelech adjudicated on in similar ways. So, for instance, there's a case of the two-headed man, and whether he's considered one or two units. Fascinating way of Chochmas Shlomo being expressed over there. We also hear about in the Perek Dalid and Hay that statesmen from around the world would come and hear and seek audience of Shlomo HaMelech. We know that Hiram, the king of Tyre, would come and seek his audience and, in fact, engage with him. We know that in later on in Perek Yud, in Sefer Melachim, the queen of Sheba, Malka Sheva, comes and to appreciate his wisdom, and they share many riddles. And so we hear this huge amount of work around wisdom. And that's why when we get to Perek Hey in Sefer Melachim, we're told in no uncertain terms, Vayech kamiko Adam. He was wiser than any person, Me'etan ha'ezrachi, more than Avram Avinu, Ve'heman, and before even more than Moshe Rabbeinu, Ve'chalkal ve'dardav ve'bnei mechol, Ve'hi shemor b'cholagu yem soviv, all the philosophers of the nations around. Ve'edaber shloshes alafim mashal, Ve'hi shiro chamisha ve'alef. He spoke 3,000 mishalim, and he had 1,005 songs. Where do we find these? Potentially, that's referring to our Sefer. So we see the correlation of what is described in Sefer Melachim and what is here. It is fascinating as well, just to continue those psukim in Melachim, where it says, "Vaydaber al ha'itzim." He spoke about the woods, mina erez asher belavonon vada ezo asher yotze bakir, to the hyssop which was growing on the wall. "Vaydaber al ba'him v'al oif al remes al adagim." He spoke about the animals, about the birds, about the creeping, crawling things, and about the fish. Everything he spoke about. What does that mean? That Rashi says that it means to say he understood the root of everything. He understood the medicinal purposes and opportunities could to be found in the plant kingdom. He understood the properties of the kingdoms of flora and fauna, both medicinally and their uses in society, domesticated and wild uses. Rashi goes on to say, in fact, that the choice over here of the items that he understood, the cedar to the hyssop, the cedar and the hyssop were used by the Metzorah, by the cleaning, the purification process of the Metzorah, of the person who has leprosy, means he understood the very basic metaphysical underpinnings of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu structured this world. In fact, the Malbim says that what was unique about his Chochmah was that it was not, in a certain sense, graduated. It was not experience after experience after experience. It came all at once. This is the Chochmah Shlomo. Where do we see this expressed? We see this expressed in our Sefer Mishlei. In fact, the Josephus describes in Antiquities, in the 8th book, he describes how Hiram, the king of Tyre, would not only trade wood and the belongings and the supplies of Jerusalem, but in fact they would send each other riddles, and they would wager on them if they could resolve them or not. This was really the currency, this was the understanding of Shlomo, which he was so deeply involved in. What does the word mashal mean? What does the word mashal mean? We translate it as the word parable. This is perhaps what Rashi means when he says in the first Rashi of the Sefer, he says, Kol dvarav dugma'os u'mashalim. Dugma means an example, perhaps a hint to something else. The way the Malbim describes it in a more technical terms is that he says that every sentence or every idea has a chomer v'tzura. Chomer is, in a certain sense, the material, and the tzura is what it forms. So if I talk about I have four planks of wood and a larger flat surface, and they're nailed together, that's the chomer. The tzura is, the form is, that's a table. So the table now unites all those disparate pieces of wood, their molecular structure, their longevity, their history, where they were hewn from. Those are all chomer. Those are all material. Now, the tzura is, it is a table. That gives it form and formation. The idea over here is that we're going to hear lots of words and ideas. The tzura, the underpinning, the sum total description of what it's really getting at is the tzura, and that's what we're seeking to understand. It's fascinating that the Gemara in Chulin, on Dav Vav and Aleph, in the same line, says that it quotes an apostle in Perek Chav Gimel, Kisei Shev Lilchom Es Moshe, when a person is sitting down to dine with a person who's a ruler, Ben Tovin, it is consider what well who is before you. The Gemara says, "What pashta the kram b'maiksev? What's this referring to?" The Gemara explains whether it means to say that when you sit with the ruler, you have to think about what you put into your food. Whether a person is trying to work out if you're sitting in front of your teacher, or if your person has to be careful about their appetite. So the Maharsha points out on this Gemara a very important point, and then he says, "Pashta de kra have hanimshal." If you want to understand Mishlei, you need to understand what it's getting at, not the words that you're reading. I mean, if you think you can walk out saying, oh, well, you know, king, ruler, eating, I got the words, but you don't get the concept, you're missing out. The pshat, as opposed to any other place in Tanakh, or most other places in Tanakh, the pshat usually has its own meaning. Here, says the Maharsha, there is no meaning to the words by themselves if you don't get the picture, if you don't get what the Malbim calls the tzura, which is the form they're trying to describe. It is worthwhile noting that in the introduction, which is a very long introduction to Sefer Mishlei, by Rav Yehuda Kiel, one of the editors of Sefer Mishlei in the Dat Mikra set, he points out that around Tanakh you will find the word Mashal implies five different meanings when it's used throughout the Torah, Neviim, and Ksuvim. The most common one, and that's the one that's going to be most adopted in our Sefer, is it is a saying of wisdom. For instance, you know, you go to Mishlei Perek Chof Dalet, talks about the person, I'll stay ish atzel avarti, I'll care more adam chasar lev, I walked by the field of a person who's lazy and what I see there. That's one example. But there's another example where the word mashal means a prophetic statement. So for instance, when Bilam talks about the future of the nations, he describes it in very clear things. Alkein yomru hamoshlim bo cheshbon tivonev sichon in ir sichon. He says a mashal, which is a prophecy about the nations of Moab and the Amorites. In a similar vein, you have essentially known as what he calls a sarcastic attack on the nations. So for instance, when Yeshayahu talks about Bavel in Perek Yud Dalet, it's very clear over there that he says, when he says about the V'nasasa Mashal Azeh Ala Melech Bavel V'amartir Eich Shavto Nages V'shav Somad Heva. You say, how is the taskmaster vanished? How is your oppression ended? So he's mocking him through this Mashal. It's not so much of a prophecy, but more of a sarcastic attack. That's the third type. The fourth type essentially is a philosophical wondering, where the mashal, word mashal, for instance, in Iyov Perek Chov Zayin, is not about a witty or specifically deep idea, but it's really a wondering about the human condition. Vayosef Iyov lo sheis mashalav vayomar, chai kel hasir mishpatei v'shakai hemar nafshi. You Hashem, you deprive me of justice. You've embittered my life. That's another expression of the word mashal. And finally, the fifth and last expression of it is the idea of kina, a lamentation. So in Bilam, as an example, the end of Parshas, Balak gives his lamentation about the nations that Vayisama Shalav Yomar, Oy Michiyem Misuma Kel, Vitsiyim Berayad Kitim, Vinu Ashur, Vinu Aver, Gamhu Ade Oved, when he talks about the Kitim and Ashur and Aver, and he talks about their perishing, that is also an idea of a kina, a lamentation, not so much of a prophecy. There's five different ways that a mashal can be used, so just important in the Tanakh to be careful not to think that it only means a parable, and when we read Sefer Mishlei, we'll have to see, do all of these fit one bill, or is it more complex, and how the Mefarshim will struggle to put all of these into certain categories. The last thing, and this is how we'll close the introduction, and that is the Midrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, Perek Aleph, Parsha Ches, where it says a very beautiful thing. What is Shlomo Melech really doing with Mishlei? The Midrash says, it is, if you can imagine a palace which has many entrances, but because there's no signage, everybody walks into the palace and they have no idea if they're in the service entrance, they're in the kitchen, they're in the front hall, they're in the library, they don't know where they're going. So Shlomo came along and put a sign over which entrance to start with. That was what Mishlei was. Another example is, you imagine you have a large basket of fruit and it has no handle. So how do you know where you pick it up? It's very hard, it's very hefty, it's unwieldy to pick it up. Shlomo Melech attached the handles to the basket. So wisdom is the basket. How do you access it is the handles. And finally, another last mashal it gives is a deep and natural spring which has very sweet water, but the water is frigidly cold and no one has the ability to access it, because if they get in, they'll be subsumed in this terrifyingly cold water. So what do? The wise man comes and he sets up a winch where he's able to set up a well system and pulls the water out for people to be able to taste it. That's what Shlomo HaMelech was doing. The depths of the ideas of Torah, which are so sweet but too dangerous if you jump in too fast, Shlomo HaMelech was able to winch up a few ideas for us to be able to taste the sweet waters. And with this, we begin Sefer Mishlei. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.